Today's audiocast for Friday, February 9th, 2007 from MAVWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. The U.S. fiscal year 2008 budget was released on Monday, and with it came the first official proposal for aviation user fees. AvWeb's Chad Troutfetter sat down with National Business Aviation Association President and CEO Ed Bolin to get his position on aviation user fees versus the existing fuel taxes. He uncategorically rebuts remarks made by FAA Administrator Marion Blakey last week.
Well, I think for 2 years now, we've been hearing from the FAA kind of a continuous drumbeat about the need for a radical change in the way the FAA is financed. Specifically, they talk about trying to tie revenues and cost together. And a frustration for us in the general aviation community is that we have made the point several times over that the fuel tax does a very good job of tying cost and revenues together. The more you fly, the more fuel you burn, the more taxes you pay. It's just that simple. And when you compare the efficiency and the fairness of a fuel tax versus any known user fee system, you will find that the fuel tax is fair, it's efficient, it is the best from a safety standpoint, and it is the right way for general aviation to pay. When you listen to her say that the current system does not capture the cost, there are several aviation excise taxes in place today. The only example where she can find that it might not be directly linked is the airline ticket taxes. Now, I don't think if you viewed it historically, you would find that even that allegation stands up. But if that's the case, you can rejigger that tax. There's no reason to go to a user fee system. So that was number one. I think the other part was she seemed to suggest that the current system does not equitably allocate among the users. And her comment was specifically in response to a question about business aviation. For the past year and a half, NBAA has been requesting the opportunity to meet with the FAA to talk about cost allocation. And to date, all of those requests have been denied. That's a frustration for us because we are familiar with a cost allocation study that was done in 1997. It said that general aviation imposes about 8% of the burden on the FAA's total cost structure. We are currently, as a community, paying in a ballpark of around 8% in excise taxes. So this suggestion that somehow we need to be paying a lot more really does not seem to be supported. And if suddenly they're going to change the way they do cost allocation studies and come up with some new methodology that suddenly makes us look like we're not paying our fair share, we would have expected to be in on the bottom floor of those discussions. To date, they just have not happened.
Bolin maintains the national airspace system has always been geared primarily toward the airline users.
Well, it has always been understood from a public policy standpoint that our air traffic system was built for the commercial airlines and is operating based on their operating models. This is an issue that was thoroughly debated in 1997 when the major carriers tried to shift their cost over to the low-cost carriers, and there were studies by the General Accountability Office, by the DOT, and by others that proved that it's the hub-and-spoke systems that really drive up the cost of the ATC systems. The way general aviation has always been viewed by policymakers in the United States as incremental users to the commercial airline system. And if there's going to be a fundamental change in that policy perspective, you would think that would be the subject of significant public debate.
He also notes that the Aviation Trust Fund was never intended for some of the things which it's currently being used for, nor is the fund dangerously low as the FAA claims.
Well, the Airport and Airways Trust Fund was established in 1970, and everybody who was associated with the creation understood the trust fund to be dedicated solely for capital expenditures. Now, over the years, that capital fund has been used to cover more and more FAA operations. And that's been a source of frustration for the aviation community in general. But let me go specifically to the administrator's comments on the trust fund balance. First of all, I think missing from the debate is the fact that today that trust fund is generating record revenues. In 2005, revenues going into the trust fund hit an all-time high. That mark was broken in 2006. And every expectation is that'll be broken again in 2007. So the current aviation excise taxes are generating prodigious amounts of money, and the revenues going into the Airport and Airways Trust Fund have never been higher. The second thing about the uncommitted trust fund balance, this balance of $1.7 billion has been labeled by the FAA as, quote, dangerously low. But no one has ever said what is low and what is too high, or where is the right balance. Several years ago, the trust fund balance was at $7 billion, and the aviation community was outraged. We demanded that the trust fund balance be spent down because those taxes were collected for expenditure on airport and airways capital projects. We got our wish, and they began to spend down that money. Suddenly, we're being told that now the trust fund balance is too low. In fact, when you look at the trust fund balance versus the balances that are carried in privatized systems, we are well above where they are, for example, in Canada and other privatized systems. And then the last point I would make on the trust fund balance could only allow the FAA to operate for 2 months. I think what the administrator is talking about there is that if the current taxes are allowed to expire and there are no new revenues going into the trust fund and we had to spend our uncommitted trust fund balance, then we could only spend them for 2 years. I think the answer to that is for the aviation community to come together to extend our aviation excise taxes and not get to a point where we allow the taxes to expire because we're squabbling over making radical changes in the funding stream.
More of our conversation with NBAA CEO Ed Bolin after this from Bose.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping. And learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
Now back to our conversation with NBAA's Ed Bolin, who says airspace modernization does not have to break the piggy bank.
First of all, when it comes to modernization, I think a lot of people have accepted the notion that modernization is going to cost a lot of money. It's a frustration for those of us who have tried to work with modernization and find out exactly what those expenditures will be and when they will be. And to date, we have not seen any type of modernization plan that will detail what technologies need to be purchased, in what time frame, and at what cost. So to talk about how much more everybody's going to pay in taxes to fund a system, before we have any idea what that system looks like, what it costs, when it's going to be implemented, when it's going to be certified, what those benefits are, seems a little premature.
Even though the FAA does not have a great track record in this respect, Bolin says the agency is improving.
I will say this. I think the FAA, over the course of the past decade, has become much better at managing big programs. In fact, Russ Chu has recently said that the FAA is now has a 97% on time, on budget completion rate with its program. So I think that the FAA is improving. They have done some transformative type programs that have been very successful. But before we go forward, I think it is fair to see what the full plan is, what the costs are, and what the schedule is, just as any individual who would go to a bank to take out a loan would have some idea what they're trying to use the money for and what the reasonable payback period would be.
And the general aviation community's voice is vital in the user fee debate.
In terms of how the overall debate will work out by September 30th, I think that's really up to the general aviation community to determine how that is ultimately going to play out. General aviation is all over the United States. It's in every congressional district. It's a large and it's a significant industry. And if NBAA and the other general aviation associations can do a good job of educating our members and getting them activated and mobilized, I have every reason to believe this is a fight we can win. The thing everybody can do right now is to contact their members of Congress and let them know that they are part of the general aviation community, that they know a bill will be coming and it's important to the future of the industry, and they will be watching and they will be communicating with their members of Congress. So people who are, whether they're members of the NBAA or just members of the general aviation community, can go to NBAA's website at nbaa.org, click on our Contact Congress icon, put in their name, put in their address, and our software will automatically find the email address for their member of Congress and their two senators. And that's a great way to begin the dialogue with their elected officials on this really important topic. And I think how our industry responds to it is really going to set the tone for the future of general aviation in the United States for the next decade.
You've been listening to our conversation with National Business Aviation Association President and CEO Ed Bolin, speaking about user fees. Hey, be sure and check out the continually improving look of avweb.com. It continues to improve since we rolled it out just a few months ago, resources and features, and you now get general aviation news as it happens. And we invite you to check out some of our excellent sister publications all under the Belfour umbrella, IFR Magazine at www.ifr-magazine.com, Aviation Safety at aviationsafetymagazine.com, Aviation Consumer at aviationconsumer.com, and IFR Refresher Magazine at ifr-refresher.com. Comments to audio news at avweb.com, and this report was brought to you by Bose and the Aviation Headset 10. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Monday, February 12th. Thanks for listening. Mike Blakeney reporting.